He's patient. He understands. He made us this way. He made us frail. I mean, if he didn't want us to struggle sometimes, I think he should have made us like, he could have. He could have made us superhuman believers. But he made us like Peter, who doubts and who denies and whom he restores.
To the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show dedicated to changing the world one dad at a time. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hey, Todd, where are you and how's it going?
Well, you know, we're here in, last week we were in Des Moines, Iowa, and we avoided any weather because the last time we were there, we had lots of bad weather. We had tornadoes every night. And in fact, I kept an eye out on the weather, my little weather app, and we left Saturday night, drove out of Des Moines, just, you know, 10, 20 miles. And I knew Sunday was going to be bad, which it proved to be terrible. So we hit the road early and got going, and we avoided all the weather. In fact, we avoided we were in Oklahoma and Dallas all the week before.
Wow.
So God was very gracious, and we avoided all that. We made the, about 1,300-mile trip, round trip, or went by our house to pick up some stuff. And we are now in Orlando, Florida at the Gaylord Palms Resort. If you've never, I don't know, Scott, you live in Cincinnati, so you're not too far from, well, you are, I guess, maybe like 4 or 5 hours from Nashville, right?
Yep. I've been there once.
Have you been to the Opryland Hotel?
I haven't. My wife was there for a convention years ago, though. So, yeah, she's been there, but I've seen it.
All right. This is kind of like the sister, I guess, of that hotel. And it is spectacular. Matter of fact, right now I'm by the pool. My kids are playing in this gigantic water park thing that you might hear the bell here in a little bit. You can, the palm trees are here. You can hear the kind of reggae music playing in the background. My kids, I've told them, give me 30 minutes of not bothering me, but that probably won't make it. But, you know, it's kind of a bittersweet thing. Most of you know that I during this season, the kind of spring, summer, we've been on the road and we travel. Not only do we speak at churches, but we also speak primarily at homeschool state conventions. And we just got word today at about lunchtime as we were in town kind of doing laundry and dropped my son off the library as he's working on a research paper. We heard that one of our bookseller friends who's been doing this for a long, long time, longer than we have, he had a heart attack in the loading dock where they were unloading all their books and things, and he died. And his name is Randy Miller, Miller Pad and Paper, for those who might know and want to send a note of encouragement that way. But, you know, it's just a sobering, sobering thing because my wife and family just had dinner with their family 2 weeks ago when I was speaking, so I wasn't able to go with them. When we were in Tulsa, I think we were. And I've seen them several times, you know, over the last couple of weeks, where we've talked, and it's just a weird thing to think that, you know, his truck's out there, his trailer's out there, his books are partially set up, and he's spending this time as we do our Toddcast, he's in heaven. And it's a hopeful thing for him, but it's so, so sad for those who are left behind. And I talked to his older son, and which I'd never talked to him before. I don't think I've even met him before. Or I shouldn't say older son, one of his sons who's older. And, you know, you could tell he was broken up, and his wife is somewhere in this hotel. I guess you just keep living. It's just a hard, hard thing. So it feels it's a little weird, you know, as we get ready to start this big convention, and it is a big convention, that it feels like a little cloud's over everything now, and everybody's having fun.
Well, we'll ask the Family Man community to lift them up in prayer.
Exactly. The Millers. Pray for the Millers. So, But like my wife was saying, Todd, there are a lot of people here. There's a couple. There are probably about 13,000 people that I have talked to on Friday morning. And she's saying, you know, they're counting on you to lift them up and encourage them. So I will do so.
No one better for the job.
I don't know about that. But at this moment, I don't feel very perky. In fact, I feel very sober, which, you know, this might be a good, you know, I was thinking we were going to go a different direction, but I got an email this week, Scott, and I didn't even share it with you. At least I don't think I did. Maybe I passed it on to you. Someone asked me to, that he has a friend who's a listener, and, you know, he just thought maybe it'd be a good idea if I could share my testimony. And by testimony, in case you don't know, if you're listening, that, you know, just how I became a Christian. In case you were doubting that I was a Christian, well, let me just tell you this story.
There might be some people still doubting after this.
Huh?
There might still be people doubting after you tell it.
I know it. I'd like to ask you, Scott, maybe you could share briefly. And, well, I hope your story's more horrific than mine, because mine's a pretty simple story. You know, I was even telling one of my kids, Jedediah, my youngest, we were driving down the road maybe two nights ago, and he was talking with my wife. He must have been having one of those conversations, because my wife said, or he asked me, so how old were you when you became a Christian? And I was a kid, and I was about 7 years old, and my mom was a Christian. My dad was not at the time, but my mom was very serious about what she believed, and she made her kids, you know, it was serious to us too. And so at a young age, and really I can vaguely remember the time, but I asked Jesus to take away my sins so I could live in heaven forever. You know, and it was a kid thing. But Jesus says, you know, you come to me as a child. And so I did.
Right on.
And so I kind of did the Christian routine. I grew up in it, you know. They would have said I was kind of the all-American kid, you know, Richie Cunningham of Happy Days. I didn't do any of the bad things, except, you know, I really kind of fooled everybody, because I did some things I'm not very proud of, and I got to a point in college where our relationship had gone bad. I'm so, so grateful now, but God really got a hold of my heart. And he started working in me. But it wasn't until I was dating my wife, and then we had an ugly thing happen because of me and being dishonest about things. I said I'd never tell her, but I did tell her. And it was ugly, it was traumatic. And then God really got a hold of my heart. And basically I said to him, you know, I've run the first 22 years of my life, you've got the rest. And that was really a turning point for me. And, you know, he started working in my heart and started studying the Bible. And really, it was transformational, which really got me to where I am today. You know, I went to seminary because I thought it was so exciting to tell people about how God's word was practical and could impact their life. And then at the same time, you know, I just saw people who said they believed certain things, but they just didn't live it. And so I wanted to do that. And that's kind of taken me to now. And even, you know, with Randy Miller dying, you know, it's funny how, you know, there's a, I don't know if it's that human bent that we like to think, you know, always in a better place. And sometimes we say that as though that's kind of a little colloquialism or a little, isn't that nice? But right. The truth is, he really is in a better place. He is in the presence of God. And I don't understand all that. We read about it, but he's really, really there. Heaven's a real place. And, you know, I want my kids to be there, and I need to be telling them the story. I need to be reminding them of trusting in God and asking Jesus to forgive their sins. You know, not just once, not just get them to pray a prayer, to make sure they're there as well. So that's my story, and I'm kind of sticking to it. How about you, Scott?
You know,
You knew you did Jesus.
Well, you know, I was just you just reminded me. I was going to say, I forget who it was. I think it might have been Dwight Moody. I read one time said, "One day you're going to read that I'm dead, that I've died." And he said, "Don't you believe it? Because at that very moment, I will be more alive than I have ever been."
Amen.
I thought, right on, man. That's a great perspective. So,
you know, and I think that too. And I even heard someone say, you know, you want to get to the end of your life and say, wasn't it a great ride? And the truth is, Randy Miller has been standing in line. The ride hasn't even started yet for us, but the ride has begun. You know, it really is a totally different perspective. From my little perspective, I mean, I'm sitting by the pool, palm trees, lights, the music. I think this is pretty good, and it is pretty good, but it's just a shadow of the good stuff. You know, I'm just waiting here, killing time until it's time.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to balance the perspectives between, like, the perspective that this is our one and only life and we've got to make it count and people's eternities are at stake and we've really got to, you know, we've got to get out there and win people for Christ and make our lives the best they can be. And at the same time, the other perspective that this isn't really the life that God's created us for.
Right.
This is just, it's sort of the prelude, you know? What's up?
Well, like the old hymn, you know, this world is not my own. I'm just passing through.
Right.
I mean, there is a truth to that. But maybe God's put it in our hearts to really, really like this place at the same time. Because I do. I love this place. I love the people he surrounded me with. And that's why I want them to continue this. And really, the greatest call of a dad is to share, you know, that these things would be upon your heart, that you would share them with your children when you rise up and when you lay down, and when you walk along the path. And I think, you know, the passing of another Christian or anybody is another opportunity for me to talk to my children, because I feel like they're sobered by it, you know, and say, hey, you know, and we haven't had this conversation yet. You know, he's in heaven. He's with Jesus. He's still living. He's still breathing, you know, and he's still walking around. He's, you know, and even when Jesus said, you know, if you live and believe in me, you will never die. I mean, it's just a instant and transformational. And yet doubt nags at us and we, you know, and you think, oh, wonder if I'm wrong. But we're not wrong. The Bible says it. And Jesus, I find great comfort in the fact when Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I like that, you know, that he would have shot straight and said, hey, I'm going, you're not, too bad. But that's the way it is. But that's not the way it is. So, hey, Scott, tell me how you came to that point.
You know, I was a kid, and I don't have a real dramatic story either. I grew up in church. We went to an Episcopal church, and it was, I think I was in fifth grade, so I would have been around 10 years old, when we were on what was called a Faith Alive retreat. It was like a weekend retreat. They did a little, you know, struggling churches in the Episcopal church to try and kind of, it was their version of a revival, you know?
Right.
And I was just involved in the children's program there, and they gave us a chance to commit our lives to Christ. And I was like, yeah, why wouldn't I want to do this? So, so that was, you know, when I officially gave my life to Christ. And I think it was just sort of a gradual process of getting, you know, glimpses of him. It's like I met him then and then kind of got to know him in little bits and pieces throughout high school. And it was really in college when I started going to a group called the Navigators, where I really started digging into the scriptures and getting to know what his word said about him and I found out what I really believed as a Christian. I mean, I kind of knew some of it, but I didn't really wrestle with all that stuff until then. And as far as the, you know, the big traumatic moments or anything, I mean, I've struggled with, you know, sins on and off and things that I've, you know, had to deal with, and there's been pain here and there, but I wonder, you know, I still wonder how strong my faith is sometimes. And, you know, I wonder if I had to deal with some of the things that some of my friends have dealt with. You know, my two best friends from college that were roommates at different times, both of them, each of them has a child that has terrible medical issues. One of them has a son who has a scoliosis so bad that he has to have steel rods on his down the side of it, or down either side of his spine, and he has to have them replaced every 6 months. They have to go to Boston from Columbus, Ohio, to have surgery for him. And he's you know, he's my daughter's age. He's like 13, 14, and he's been having this for years. And sometimes he'll break the rods just playing around, and they'll break, and then he has to get to Boston from Ohio with these broken rods in his back in just excruciating pain. And I'm like, I can't even imagine having to deal with that as a dad.
Yeah.
You know, and my other friend, his daughter has cerebral palsy. She was had kind of a traumatic birth experience and was in the ICU for a month. And they knew that she might be delayed in her development, but it turned out to be pretty extreme. And she's really just kind of stuck at a shortened developmental level and probably isn't going to develop much further. And it's just, man, I mean, they don't get a break ever. They, as parents, he and his wife, and I'm like, I don't know how they handle it day in and day out. I don't know what that would do to my faith if I had to struggle with something like that. So, I mean, like I said, my story's not that exciting, but, I think probably the hardest part though that I've had, as far as like a desert experience, was when we actually went on staff with the Navigators for a little while in our 20s, and when that fell apart, we were in debt. We had gone from being mostly funded to then some months we'd get $20 a month for our entire month's salary.
And it's hard to live on $20 a month.
Yeah, it was rough. And and, we came out of that really disillusioned. And for me, I mean, it was a good 5 years before I even felt like I felt God's presence at all. It just felt totally like he had just abandoned us. So I think that was probably the hardest struggle for me, was getting through that.
How'd you get through that?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a continual of reaching out to him. Some of it was just the disciplines of the daily, or try to be daily disciplines of getting into his word and reminding myself of the truth, even when I didn't feel it. And then it was also a matter of just allowing myself the time to heal. I heard somebody say that one time that somebody had been hurt that they knew at another church, and kind of a toxic experience. And they invited him to their church and said, look, just come and heal. That's all you need to do. And I thought, that is such great advice. Sometimes you just need to heal for a while. So yeah. I don't know how to explain it much better than that. Maybe in 20 years I'll be able to explain it better, but that's it for now.
And I've talked to lots of guys, and I know several guys who would say, they feel distant from God. They feel, like maybe they're really not his. Maybe they're too far gone, or maybe they're too, it's just been too long. And I would say, as I've heard other preachers say it, God's not done with you. God said he would finish what he started. And, I would do like you did, Scott. I would just open up your Bible. I would just begin by reading. Okay, so that was a little, I don't know, I think that was my face pushing against the telephone there. I used to feel so passionate about that, you had to get it right with God. And I still feel that way. But I know God's bigger than even the way you feel right now. And so, he still loves you. He's patient. He understands. He made us this way. He made us frail. I mean, if he didn't want us to struggle sometimes, I think he should have made us like, he could have. He could have made us superhuman believers. But he made us like Peter, who doubts and who denies and whom he restores. So you're okay, Dad. You're going to be just fine. Which just reminds me about another story I heard, and maybe just a little change in pace. And I know we got about 5 or 10 minutes left.
Yep.
I was talking to a dad, and I was just struck by, again, the power of a dad. Maybe your son or daughter is kind of walking away, or is not where they should be. I believe, as we've talked before, that Dad, you're the key to bringing them back. But I was just struck by the power of a dad in a story. Another guy related to me, and it was just so powerful. And this guy, I told him I was going to share it. So, and the guy came up to me and he said, he was just talking about the power of a dad, and He said his wife had had two miscarriages in a row, and it was just really, really traumatic. In fact, his wife, he said, just kept sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. And he said, I couldn't reach her. You know, I could not get through. It was terrible. She was sinking. I thought she was going to spiral just out of control. I just didn't think I'd ever have my wife again. And then this guy who is a good dad, he took matters not into his own hand, but he did not let it just drift off and say, well, I couldn't control it. It was beyond me. He said he went to her father and he said to him, he said, father-in-law, dad, whatever he called her. He said, we're going to ambush your daughter because I think you're key to maybe bringing her back. And he said, now my father-in-law is super, he's non-emotional. He really was not very well connected with his wife growing up, but he still felt like he might play an important role in bringing her back. So he gets his wife and they go somewhere and the father's there and the wife is like, what's this about, you know? And the husband said, told the dad, now when I give you the signal, you're going to go up and you're going to give her a hug and you're going to put your arms around her and you're going to say, it's going to be okay, honey. And he said the dad was all awkward. He goes, and you think that'll do something, huh? And he said, I don't know, but it's worth a try. And so they go somewhere and they all get together and the wife's like, well, what's this about? And the husband gives the father a nod and says, okay, now's the time. And the father, he said, walks towards his daughter, who he hardly ever has hugged. He said he looked like Frankenstein with his arms outstretched, rigid. And he puts his arms around his daughter, and it's super wooden. And his daughter is like stiff as a poker and, resisting it, basically. And then she softens. He softens. And the father says, it's going to be all right, honey. And he said that was the end. His wife, just the tears flew down her face, or not flew, they flowed down her face, and she was okay from that moment. And he was just relating to me again about the power of a dad. And even as I told my wife that, my wife, she was just listening to me. I was talking across the table. And I could tell she was starting to get all weird. And she walks into the back bedroom of our RV. And I'm like, I followed her in there. And I go, what's wrong? And she was crying. And I said, what's wrong, honey? And she had said it reminded her of her miscarriage and how terrible it was. And again, I've shared how I responded improperly and was gruff about it, mean about it, ununderstanding. And she again said, "Why? I just don't understand why you would have done that." And I put my arms around her and I said just the same words as the father. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And you know what? That felt so good to her. And she responded to me in that same loving tone. And I think as a father, maybe you have a daughter or a son who just needs you to put your arms around him and say, it's going to be okay. You don't have to have any of the answers. Just tell him it's going to be okay, because it's reassuring to know that it's going to be okay. And I think maybe as a husband, maybe we need to do that for our wife if we're going through a hard time. And just say, you're going to be okay, honey. Well, hey, we're just about out of time, I think.
Yep, we're getting close.
I'm sorry for kind of a sober time of talking, but it was good to hear your story, Scott.
Yeah.
And I know all the dads out there have a story as well. That I bet your kids need to hear your story, Dad. Maybe if you haven't told them in a while, you should. And Dad, if you don't know, if you don't really know, or maybe you do know that you don't have a relationship with God, could you email me and we could talk? You can email me at familyman@familymanweb.com, or you can contact Scott, because I know he'll give his contact information at the end.
Sure.
And we'd love to share it with you or get you in contact or get you some good resources of how you can know for sure that you know him and that you're going to heaven. But hey, before you go, how about I'll pray for you all and keep praying for me. I just get overwhelmed by how good God has been to us and answered your prayers by allowing our RV to still run. And it is running, even though I noticed a little drippy water coming from one of my skylights that I thought I was taken care of. But I have to address that one again. And just so you know, I just heard from the insurance guy, and they're not saying it's the other girl's fault. They're saying it's a 50-50, no fault, basically, which the insurance agent, he seemed to think that was a good deal. I didn't think it was a good deal because it wasn't my fault. Right. But they don't care. Let me pray for you, and then I'll say goodnight from Orlando, poolside. Dear God, I just thank you for the way you love us. We thank you that your love is irresistible, that that you said you draw us to yourself. And I pray for the dad who needs to know you and needs to feel your touch. I pray that you would be real and you would touch him. Help us to be faithful in telling our children about you and modeling a dad or a person who's not perfect, but someone who walks and stays close to you. And even in that, we know we need you. We can't do it on our own. I thank you that Randy Miller is in heaven with you. I pray that you would be with his wife in such a special way. I don't even know how to pray, but I know you know. You know her and you love her. We thank you that you prepared a place for us and that if it weren't so, you would have told us. We pray all this in your name, the Father. Amen. Well, Dad, signing off again from Orlando from the poolside. I want to remind you again that you to Dad.
And that's our show for this week, folks. Thanks for joining us on The Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, please email it to familyman@familymanweb.com. If you want to get in touch with me directly, you can email me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. So thanks for joining us. And check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, all those fun social media places. And have a great week.